Welcome everybody to the level 9 podcast. Holy smoke, it's been a while for the name of my own podcast. I'm Alex, obviously. And I'm here with my co-host Jesse.
Howdy. Yeah, it's been a bit of a while. We forgot the name of the podcast. But yes, the Level 9 podcast is finally back. I think it's our last episode was late May, I want to say, because I think June 1st we were sort of planning something, and then just life kind of got in the way.
We were like, I think the last episode was actually the Mass Effect episode, with our very early E3 predictions. And we were planning on doing like a whole thing for E3, but here in Canada, things COVID started dying down around that time. Vaccination started coming out, so things started getting back to normal. So we had to go back to our regular jobs, and things picked up pretty quick. So that's why we do apologize. We haven't been very active, but Jesse and I are trying to get back on track here.
Yeah, I am super excited to jump back into this. I think we're going to try and get one episode a month, or maybe even every couple of weeks again. But super excited to be talking to you again. I missed hearing your voice, buddy. It's been a while.
Oh, man, it has been. I just can't wait to talk about video games again. And what a better time, too. Like, the Xbox just had their 20th anniversary stream. Game Awards are less than about 2 weeks away. And, oh, man, this is a great time to bring up and start again. So what have you been playing lately?
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on the Xbox 20th anniversary. Just, I don't know why, but it just sparked a memory I've had that I went over to a friend's house back in, when the original Xbox was out, and him and I, yeah, a little bit. And he introduced me to a game called Halo. I remember playing that first opening mission where you're in a ship or something, and everything's just exploding around you and you're trying to rush out or something like that. Does that sound vaguely familiar?
I just got goosebumps.
Yeah, I haven't thought about that. I didn't even remember that until you mentioned the 20th anniversary. But yeah, that was one of the very first games I remember playing. And that, gosh, yeah, like you said, I'm old. That just ages us greatly, doesn't it? But yeah, kudos to Xbox. I mean, Xbox has just been right up there with like PlayStation. Nintendo is like one of the top, the pinnacles of the gaming world. It's just impressive, and they're still going. I think their future looks brighter than it really has in quite some time.
Yeah, shout out to Phil Spencer on that one. The Xbox One era was a little bleak for us Xbox fans, but Phil stepped in and kind of changed the course of that pretty quickly. But so the Xbox had their 20th anniversary on the 15th of November. They did make it pretty clear before the event that there will be no major game announcements. They kind of lied, but not really. So I'll get back and I'll go to find that in a couple seconds here, but essentially, they kind of had the highlights of all the video of all Xbox. They kind of had some people talking about how they met some friends on the Xbox, and they actually became friends in real life. And there's a little video of them flying to go meet the one guy. I think he lived in Washington, and they're flying from Wisconsin or something along those lines. And they actually met up and meet best friends, 20 years later, because they all met on Xbox. So that's the power of gaming right there. Xbox obviously being the first gaming company to really have online gaming. So that was kind of a cool little tidbit. Then they announced a 6-part documentary called Power On, about Xbox and its history. They did not shy away, which was a surprise about, they did not shy away from talking about the Red Ring of Death and the Kinect failure that they had with the Xbox One. So I'm looking very forward to watching that documentary, which comes out, I believe, on December 3rd. Could be wrong, but December 3rd is when that 6-part documentary starts. So that's going to be a fun one to watch.
Yeah, that certainly sounds pretty intriguing. Speaking of Xbox and Halo, I know they just surprisingly released something that I'm sure you are very excited over, and that's pretty much been sucking up all of your free time, hasn't it?
It sure has. I mean, everybody that listens to this podcast knows that we like to include every console on this podcast, but I'm an Xbox guy, just as a PlayStation guy. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I grew up on Xbox, Jesse grew up on PlayStation. So hey, when they announced Halo Infinite multiplayer was launching on the 15th, I think I shed a tear a little bit. I kind of booked that day off work specifically for that, and as soon as they announced it, I logged on and started playing a bit, and my goodness, it just feels so good. It just, like, Halo is back, and I'm just so happy that 343 nailed this. The game didn't launch until December 8th, but the campaign reviews have actually been up too, and it's the first open world Halo game. The campaign reviews have been phenomenal from what I've seen. They've only played the first four missions of the Halo campaign that they can talk about, but they said a lot of them went in there with the expectations super high, because it's Halo, and the expectations were met and above. So that's screams great news for us Halo fans and for people like you, Jesse, that want to get into Halo but don't know how. This is probably the best time to get into Halo.
Yeah, I've certainly always wanted to give it a shot, but I mean, like you said, I'm a PlayStation guy, so I never really had the chance to do it, but it's always been around in the gaming world, so I've always wanted to sort of jump into it. And this one, I think you mentioned it being a free multiplayer, which is I don't think that there's been a free Halo multiplayer before, has it?
No, this is free to play, so you can play. I'm not 100% sure on if you need Xbox Live. No, you don't even need Xbox Live Gold to play. It's free. So anywhere you can play Xbox, or whether it's on your PC, you can even play it streaming like via your phone. I've seen people who streamed it via the xCloud and actually ended up using a PlayStation 5 controller to play it, but they were still playing an Xbox game with a PlayStation 5 controller. So that just shows you how far the gaming's come, and it's kind of accessible to anyone at this point. You don't really need to buy a console to play PS5 or Xbox games at this point. PS5 has their streaming service you can use too, so.
Now, Halo Infinite multiplayer aside, what else have you been playing these past few months?
Lately it's been Halo. Age of Empires 4 released, I believe, October 28th, and I've been playing a lot of that. I'm a huge Age of Empires fan, and I'm a huge history geek, so those two kind of tied together, and that game and Halo are probably the two I've been kind of taking up my time. I did end up 100%ing getting all the achievements on Psychonauts 2 this past weekend, which has been a long time coming. Those damn collectibles are impossible to find, but the most recent update made them a lot easier for those who finished the game, so I finally was able to check that off my list.
Wow, that is quite impressive. How long did that take it?
Well, the game came out in August. I probably beat it in early September. And then I had to go around and find they're called figments. So they're essentially just kind of like little, I don't know, like colorful drawings in the world, but they kind of blend in with the world. Like they're not very noticeable. And there's about 300 per level type thing. So there's a lot. And you couldn't find them for the longest time. Like there's this one level, I was missing one completely. And the way the game launched, it didn't tell you what areas you've completed 100%. So like you're going to all these places, you're like, where's this last figment? But the most recent update, if you beat the game, you can buy this thing in the shop called the auto spot, which if you play the game, you understand. If you don't, I don't have enough time to explain exactly what who auto is, and I don't want to spoil it. But essentially you go into your camera mode, like photo mode, and if a figment is in the area, it kind of glows. So you can kind of see exactly where it is. So it's a nice little way to figure out if you're missing those last little collectibles. And then it also checkmarked the area. So like in every world, there's probably about 7 or 8 areas. So that way, if you 100%ed that certain area, you checkmarked it. So you didn't spend about 30, 45 minutes looking for things. So you can only get that if you've beaten the game. So it's not like it's, you know, if you haven't beat the game, you won't be able to get it. So it's in. Thought they added that. I was able to finally finish off that last achievement.
Oh, very nice. I will quickly go over what I've been playing recently, and then we can sort of jump into the meat and potatoes of the episode, the Game Awards. I think almost 2 months ago to the day, on September 24th, PS5 released Death Stranding, the director's cut, and I know that's a bit of a controversial title when you mention it, but from the moment I started playing it, I decided to give it a shot. After playing on the PS4 and not really enjoying it. That seems to happen with me, where I'll start a game, I won't enjoy it, and then I'll visit it again in like a year or so, and then it'll absolutely just suck me in. But yeah, I've spent a very large amount of time playing only Death Stranding for the past 2 months, and it's only been recently where I've started to think getting burnt out, and I kind of am looking for that next game. So I'm thinking it's either going to be Battlefield or Halo Infinite that I'm going to jump into next.
Yeah, no, that's actually kind of cool to hear, because I know, like, you and I have ragged and just destroyed Death Stranding on the PS4. We call it the walking simulator, but it's nice to see that they kind of added a lot more to the PS5 version to make it actually a lot better. And the fact that you put in 200 hours into a game you never previously enjoyed says it's a huge amount for that game. So that's huge. But glad you're enjoying it, and whenever you're ready to play Halo, I'm ready. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am excited to give that a shot.
Speaking of, Psychonauts, I guess you could say Death Stranding, since it was nominated last year. We have the Game Awards coming up in December. I believe it's December 8th. We're going to kind of go back and forth between all the categories here. Did decide to scratch out Content Creator of the Year and all the esports awards, just because Jesse and I With the crazy year that we had, we haven't really been following any of the esports or content creator of the year for that matter. We're more just kind of gamers and, you know, working our full-time job. So we're going to go off all those awards. We're going to say who we would pick as the winner personally, and then we can go in and say who we think, like, who we think the jury is going to award the prize, the game to.
Yeah, that works. We'll
kind of two different sections, so we can kind of explain our personal choice if we were voting, which you can vote if you go to gameawards.com. Anybody can vote. So you can go and cast your vote, and we'll explain why we chose the games that we voted for, and then we'll explain why we think, like, who the jury of the actual game award will vote for.
And then maybe slide in like some games that we would have nominated, or the
Like surprises, or like ones that or like more like replays. So we'll get into that in a second. But let's start off with the most anticipated game. So this most anticipated game is recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. So these are games that have not been announced, that have not been released yet, but have been announced. So we have Elden Ring from Software and Bandai Namco, God of War Ragnarok from Sony Santa Monica and Sony Interactive Entertainment. We got Horizon Forbidden West from Guerrilla and Sony Interactive Entertainment. I love it how they have the sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. It doesn't even have a name yet. from Nintendo, or Big Boy Starfield from Bethesda Game Studios. So Jesse, I'll let you take the lead on this one. Let me know who you are going to vote for, and then we'll go back and forth, and then we'll both share who we think is going to win.
Gosh, this might be, we're starting off with probably the most challenging group of games here, just because I really, all of these just have so much heat and just velocity behind them right now. It's just impossible. I'm certainly intrigued.
Let's just say this category you might see next year. All these games might be nominated for Game of the Year.
Oh, I 1,000%, yes. Starfield, I'm certainly intrigued over, just because I don't want to see Elder Scrolls in space. I want to see a whole new kind of experience. So I'm excited to see what they do with that. I'd have to say Ragnarok, just because, you know, God of War in 2018 was just an incredible experience, and I remember finishing it just thinking I want so much more. I think I started it 3 or 4 times just because it's just incredible. And I mean, Horizon Forbidden West as well. It's just, I'm going to say God of War Ragnarok before I keep going here. I think that's going to be a big one. I certainly think. How about you?
This is a tough one. Honestly, the only game that really doesn't intrigue me in this is Elden Ring, just because of the game style. I'm not a Souls kind of guy, so that's going to be automatically eliminated. Cue the hate comments and on our Twitter post, but that one's going to be eliminated for me. I'd probably have to go with Starfield at this point, solely because I have not finished God of War or Horizon Zero Dawn on the PlayStation yet. They are on my list of games to play, but there's just so many games coming out that I keep missing. So Starfield's probably up there, just because I'm a huge RPG guy, and obviously with it being a Microsoft exclusive, that kind of adds a bit more bias, but doesn't really mean I'm choosing it because of that. That's just really the only game that I don't need to play any other game to kind of understand what's going on. It's kind of like brand new, fresh entry. So Starfield would be my pick for that one. Who do you think would actually win this? Like, when the game awards happen, who do you think's winning this?
That's the thing. I strongly believe that any of these five have an equal shot to winning.
I completely agree. I do think the sequel to The Legend of the Breath of the Wild has probably lost a bit of momentum, just because we haven't heard a lot about it.
I'm going to say Elden Ring is probably going to win. But like you said, I'm not a big Souls guy either. So, I mean, I want to be excited just because it has so much hype. And, I mean, we got R.R. Martin from Game of Thrones in here too. But,
yeah,
If it was open world without the Souls aspect, I'd be fired up. But I think Elden Ring has a lot of momentum right now, so it's probably going to be that one.
I'll probably agree with that. I'll say Elden Ring, and I think God of War Ragnarok might be the next closest contender to that. People love God of War, so, which rightfully so, though. I think Elden Ring will win this one. So I believe we have the best debut indie. So this is for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. So obviously Jesse and I probably have not played half of these games, but I'll then say the nominees and we can kind of go from there. So we have The Artful Escape from Beethoven and Dinosaur, Also Annapurna Entertainment, that might just win because of the company alone. The Forgotten City by Modern Storyteller and Dear Villagers. Kenna, Bridge of Spirits by Ember Lab. Sable from Shedworks / Raw Fury. And Valheim by Iron Gate Studio / Coffee Stain. So this category might kind of break the mold a little bit just because Jesse and I probably have not played a lot of these games. So we'll probably just go who we think is going to be the winner. We're not going to say who we think the jury is going to be, but who we would pick.
Yeah, I know Valheim has been fairly popular in recent months over Steam, but I've been mostly intrigued over Kena: Bridge of Spirits just because it looks like just a beautiful Pixar movie that you get to play. So I'm going to say that one. I haven't played it personally, but it is on near the top of my list of games to play in the next couple of weeks and months. How about you?
Yeah, so I've heard of all these games. I've never played The Artful Escape. I've never played Forgotten City, although it is downloaded on my Xbox. Valheim, I've not played. I've played the Sable demo. I've not completed Kena: Bridge of Spirits, but I'm pretty close. So just because I have more hands-on experience with Kena, that'd probably get my vote. It's a fantastic game. Like you said, kind of like a Pixar story. It's not the game I thought it was going to be, but that doesn't mean it's not good. It's just different than what I expected it. So my personal vote goes to Kena: Bridge of Spirits. I think that's kind of where we're just going to leave that one off just because we haven't played a lot of those games.
Well, I would like to just ask you a quick question. What about Kena is different from what you expected?
So I think it was just my expectations, but I was expecting it to be more like a Ratchet and Clank or Astrobot kind of, or like, you know, like, yeah, kind of like level design like that, but it's a lot more, it feels cheaper and a lot more empty than I expected.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah,
but it's still a lot of fun. Just unfortunately it did not capture my attention as much as I thought it was going to be going to. So.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, so next we'll go to best multiplayer. I know, Jesse, you're not a big multiplayer guy, but we'll have to cast our votes here anyways. So the best multiplayer is for an outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. So we have Back 4 Blood from Turtle Rock Studios and Warner Brother Games, Knockout City from Velen and EA, It Takes Two from Haze Light Studios / EA, Monster Hunter Rise from Capcom, New World, which is Amazon Games, so that's one of their big debut games, and Valheim, again, from Iron Gate Studios / Coffee Stain. Do you want me to start with this one, or do you want to go ahead and jump in?
You can start, and then I'll hop in there.
Okay. So I can safely say I've played three out of six. I played Back 4 Blood, Knockout City, and It Takes Two. And I would probably honestly best multiplayer experience. That's a tough one. Because when I think of multiplayer, I think of more than two people. I think of, you know, like Battlefield or Call of Duty or something like that. And as much as I want to give it to It Takes Two because of it's a fantastic multiplayer game, I think the multiplayer Back 4 Blood probably deserves a win for that. Just because solely because I said in my mind, multiplayer doesn't mean two players. That's a co-op game to me. Multiplayer to me means more than two people. And Back 4 Blood is obviously the best out of those. I'd cast my vote for Back 4 Blood, but I personally think It Takes Two will win it.
I am the exact same way. I would like Back 4 Blood to win it just because I'm a big Left 4 Dead guy. I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I've heard that it's pretty much a Left 4 Dead 3. So I'd like Back 4 Blood to win, but I mean, I'd like a just spoiler here that It Takes Two is also voted for Game of the Year. So I'm thinking it's probably going to take that one home too.
We shall see. All right. So now next up, we have the best sports / racing game. So for the best traditional and non-traditional sports and racing games. So we have F1 2021 from Codemasters / EA Sports, FIFA 22 from EA Vancouver and EA Sports, Forza Horizon 5 from Playground Games / Xbox Game Studios, Hot Wheels Unleashed from Milestone, and Riders Republic from Ubisoft Annecy and Ubisoft. You want to go with this one first?
You can take it off.
Okay. So I personally will cast my vote all day, every day for Forza Horizon 5. Jesse and I actually had a conversation before this. I'm a little upset it was not nominated for Game of the Year. So it has to win something this year, in my opinion. So this would be the category I would pick to win it. I don't really see any competition for it besides FIFA. FIFA would be the only one that really gets it running because FIFA is so popular around the world. So I cast my vote for Forza, but I think FIFA might take this one. It takes it every year, so.
Yeah, like you said, it's pretty much a lock that Forza is probably going to win, though I have been seeing more and more Riders Republic posts and everybody just saying that it's a really fun game and it's kind of intriguing me a little bit. I know it's by Ubisoft and they're a little hit or miss, but...
Riders Republic is actually a pretty decent game. They get a little trial on Xbox. I don't know about the PlayStation, but I know we had a free weekend to play on Xbox and I gave it a little try and it's actually a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I mean... Like you said, I think Forza is going to steal it. They usually do, but Riders Republic might be a close second.
All right, there you have it, folks. From the man himself. all right, the next category we have is best sim/strategy game. So this best game focused on real-time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay, irrespective of platform. So we have Age of Empires 4 from Relic Entertainment /Xbox Game Studios, Evil Genius 2, World Domination, Rebellion Developments, we have Humankind from Amplitude Studios /Sega. We have Inscription from Daniel Mullen's game /Devolver Digital. Or Microsoft Flight Simulator from Asobo Studios /Xbox Game Studios. Do you want me to take this or do you want to go for it first?
I can go for it quickly and then you can, I'll tag you in here. I think, that's tough. I think my Microsoft Flight Simulator has a fairly good shot at stealing this, even though I know Age of Empires 4 came out and that's a incredibly massive game. And I think, when was Age of Empires 3 released? At least like, what, 10 years ago?
2012 was a lot, 2012. So
yeah, so almost 10 years ago. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's a toss up between the Microsoft Flight Simulator and Age of Empires 4, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've only played those two games. I wanted to play Humankind, I haven't got around to it. Evil Genius 2 is coming to Game Pass on Xbox and PC this week, so I'll definitely be jumping into that when it comes. Inscription, I've never heard of. So personally, I would give this one Age of Empires 4 solely because Microsoft Flight Simulator was in the Game Awards last year, but it was the PC version instead of the Xbox version. So for that reason, I'm giving it to Age of Empires, but I think Flight Simulator takes this one.
A lot of these categories, I think they're going to be very close.
I agree.
They're hard to pick.
So the next category we have is Best Family Game. So for the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. So this is a category that I can safely say I've played every single game on here except for one. So we have It Takes Two from Hazelight Studios /EA. We have Mario Party Superstars from NoCube /Nintendo. New Pokemon Snap from Bandai Namco /Pokemon Company /Nintendo. Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury from Nintendo and WarioWare Get It Together from Intelligent Systems /Nintendo. So Nintendo sticking with their theme of being a family console. They have four of the five nominees. So do you want to take this one or do you want me?
Well, I'll keep it short and sweet. I honestly think It Takes Two has a chance to sweep up a lot of these awards in the next couple of weeks. So I'm going It Takes Two for this one, which is the one you haven't played out of these five.
WarioWare Get It Together.
Okay. And which one do you think is going to take home this prize?
So personally, I would vote for probably Mario Party Superstars as the best family game. But I do think It Takes Two wins this. Like, I think the jury will vote It Takes Two.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what happens with It Takes Two. Like I said, I think they have an opportunity to make a lot of headlines after this event.
I agree, which is great because we need more games like that in the games industry. So
Couch co-op, man, it's such a fun experience when it happens, and it just doesn't happen very often. So I think that's one reason why It Takes Two became so incredibly popular so quickly.
Yeah, you know, I agree. And I mean, the previous game, No Way Out, was also a blast. So if they can make another game similar to It Takes Two, I'm all for it. I'll be day one in that.
Oh, did they make a Way Out as well?
They did make a Way Out, the exact same company. So. That one's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have the best fighting category. So for the best game design, primarily around head-to-head combat, I'll be honest, I played one of these games. I'm not very much of a fighting kind of guy, but we have Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the Hinokami Chronicles from Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the Hinokami Chronicles. Then we have Guilty Gear Strive from Arc System Works. Then we have Melty Blood Type Lumina from French Bread, the Lightworks. Then we have Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, which is a game I have played, from Ludicity, Fairplay Labs, and Game Mill. And then we have Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown from Sega, which I believe was actually a PS Plus game.
Yeah, like I share your opinion. I'm not a big fighting game either. I'm just going to say Nickelodeon strictly because watching SpongeBob whoop ass all over the arena is just fantastic.
Yeah, I can't say who the jury's going to vote for this one because I have not played any of these games. So I personally would only play Nickelodeon, so that gets my vote. That one's pretty quick. Sorry, I know the fighting fans community is pretty big, but I'm not a fighting fan kind of guy. So next up, we have the best role-playing game, which if you're all familiar with that, we have a familiar returnee from 2020 from last year. So the best role-playing game is for the best game designed with rich player character customization and progression, including massively multiplayer experiences. So we have Cyberpunk 2077 making its return from CD Projekt Red. We have Monster Hunter Rise from Capcom, Scarlet Nexus from Bandai Namco, Shin Megami Tensei 5 from Atlus/Sega, and Tales of Arise from Bandai Namco. So if you want to go ahead and take the lead on this one, I know how much you love Cyberpunk.
Yeah, this selection of games just shows how odd 2021 was, because just none of these really jump out. I mean, I know Cyberpunk has gotten about 47 different updates since launching. That's what's been a year now since it launched.
Probably need to put 100 more before it's playable on console anyways.
I know somebody who has played it and who really does love it, which I asked her why, and she just gave me a laundry list of reasons. So, I mean, that's fairly impressive. So there's something there to love with Cyberpunk. I'm just not sure it's quite what the game anybody expected. I'll say Monster Hunter Rise, just because it's a really fun game just to kind of jump into and hunt down some massive-ass dinosaurs.
Fair enough. That's a good call. I'm probably going to pick Tales of Arise just because I never played it, but from the sound of it, it looks really cool, and I see a lot of people talking about it on Twitter, so that gets my vote. Which really sucks, because I'm a big RPG fan, but I didn't play any of these games this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's why I said 2021 was a bit of an odd year for games in general, especially RPGs.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. All right, next up, this one for Talo, we have the best action-adventure game, which for the best action-slash-adventure game, combining combat with traversal and puzzle-solving. This is a pretty strong category. We have Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy from Eidos Montreal/Square Enix, Metroid Dread from Mercury Steam/Nintendo, Psychonauts 2, Double Fine/Xbox Game Studios, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart from Insomniac Games/Sony Interactive Entertainment, and Resident Evil Village from Capcom. I'm going to let you start with this one because I'm very curious about your opinion.
Oh, I'm sure I could give you 1,000 guesses and you'd guess correctly every single time. I'm going Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. This game, it was one of the very first games. I think this was the second game I ever owned as a youth. Again, that ages me. Ratchet and Clank Going Commando for the PlayStation 2. It really just was one of the first games that showed off exactly what the PlayStation 5 could do in terms of visuals, gameplay. The sound design was fantastic. The adaptive triggers, the controller, just everything. It was just sort of a documentary of what the PlayStation 5 could do. So I'm going Rift Apart. I can't wait until I hope we get some DLC or something with the game.
Yeah, I've yet to play it. My buddy actually lent it to me and it's sitting on my shelf, but it's definitely ready, queued up and ready to go for my PlayStation. That was one of the reasons why I wanted a PlayStation 5 so bad. But personally, this is a tough one for me because I really love Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. I think it's a phenomenal game if anybody hasn't played it, but I probably cast my vote for Psychonauts 2 here. I had a blast with that game. That was probably the first game in 2021 and probably the only game in 2021 that's really captivated my attention that I was able to sit down and actually wanted to sit down and game through it. So Psychonauts 2 gets my vote for that. And I think the winner of this will probably be between those three games, Ratchet & Clank, Psychonauts 2, or Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy.
And even Resident Evil Village, I think that has a good shot.
Even Metroid has a good shot. Everybody loves Metroid. I never played it, but... Now, I think this is where we'll start throwing in. Is there any surprises for you? Because I feel like we're very familiar with this category. Is there any surprises that are in here that you didn't think, or is there any surprises that you think should have been added into here?
I think Guardians of the Galaxy, just because I didn't really hear much about it up until it released. And since then, I haven't really seen much on it. So I kind of assumed it was just an Avengers-esque kind of game. But I mean, you said that you are a big fan of it.
It's way better than the Avengers. It's Avengers should have been what Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is. It's so
good. Oh, wow. Well, maybe I'm looking for a game to play now that I'm done with Death Stranding, so maybe I'll grab
if
that.
If you like Marvel and Guardians of the Galaxy, like, it's pretty much to a T. Obviously, the voice actors aren't the same, because that'd be a lot of money. But it follows the same sense of humor. The soundtrack is phenomenal and has all these soundtracks from, you know, the Beatles, from Rick Astley song. That's like the top tier soundtrack. So that alone makes it so good.
And it's like sort of like an over the shoulder thing, right? Is it a shooter or?
It's a shooter. It's a shooter. Yeah, you can only play a Star-Lord, but you use all the Guardians of the Galaxy on your side. There's like a team combo that you can use to do more damage and things like that. So each Guardian has their own special ability. So if you want to, you know, hold an enemy in place, you would call a Groot and he would put his branches down and hold an enemy in place. So you can do double damage. Or if you want, you know, a grenade from Rocket, you call him and he throws a grenade. Gamora does like a huge damage with her sword, and Drax is just a tank, so he just absorbs damage and he's a kind of enemy target. So you can kind of use your kind of like a strategy kind of way as well. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, that does sound pretty fun actually.
Yeah, it's great. Who is there any game you would replace Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy from with that you can think of, or no?
I don't really think so. I mean, I would have picked Resident Evil. I would have thrown in Psychonauts. I would have thrown in Ratchet and Clank. I don't really.
How about Returnal? Do you think Returnal will fit into an action/adventure category?
It is nominated for best action game, so I think it classifies more as, it's not really an adventure game. I mean, I'll talk more about it shortly, but it's more of like a linear path sort of thing. So
that's fair. Yeah, there's really nothing here that really surprised me. I was kind of expecting all these to be kind of nominated for that. Next up, we have the best action game, which we just talked about.
I'm excited for this one.
Me too. This is probably the top tier category, I think, of all the games we mentioned so far. But, well, besides the most anticipated, obviously, that's kind of the bad game of the year, probably the two best. But best action games we have for the best game in the action genre focused primarily on combat. So we have Back for Blood from Turtlewalk Studios /WB Games. Chivalry 2 from Torn Banner Studios /Tripwire Interactive, which if you have not played Chivalry 2, highly recommend. Deathloop from Arcane Studios /Bethesda. Far Cry 6 from Ubisoft Toronto /Ubisoft, and Returnal from Housemarque /Sony Interactive Entertainment. I'm going to take the lead on this one because you've taken the lead on the last couple ones. I'm going to cast my vote for Chivalry 2 on this one. When it says best action game, like Returnal, probably all these are well-deserving, but to me, Far Cry 6 is more of a story game. It has a bit more story than just action. Chivalry 2 is just pure action. It's literally Battlefield but medieval, so it's literally you jump in with swords and shields and you literally just fight to the death, and there's so many different game modes, so it's literally just pure action. There's nothing really behind it. You get to customize your knight, you get to customize what kind of class you are. Like if you're an archer and you get to level 5, you get a crossbow, and then after you get a crossbow, if you get to level 10, you get a javelin you can throw, or you can be a knight where you get a pickaxe, or, you know, it's really fun. It's literally Battlefield but medieval style. So I personally cast my vote for this one. I do think Deathloop will win, though.
Yeah, similar to It Takes Two, I think Deathloop has a chance to steal up a lot of awards. But personally, I have not had as much fun playing Returnal this year than I have had playing any other game, maybe in the last 1 or 2 years.
Roguelite.
Yeah, I'm not a big roguelite guy. Like, I like seeing my progress in games and not having to restart, but I don't know, something about this, it rewards you for failing. It rewards you for exploring. It pretty much rewards you for any way you want to play. The gameplay is just fun. It's fun to explore and to strategize when you don't really know what's around that corner or what enemy is there. Do I pick up this weapon? There's just so many choices. And if you make the wrong one, everything you've just done is wiped and you got to start fresh. I know a lot of people are kind of wanting a save point and that sort of thing, but I think that sort of would have taken away. I think they actually did add saving points in an update, but yeah, I would love it if Returnal win, but like you, I think Deathloop's going to steal this one.
Fair enough, and to me, there's really no surprises in this category. I feel like everyone's pretty much well-deserving, and I can't really think of any game that would replace this, so.
I would remove Far Cry 6, personally.
Fair enough, that's fair. What, is there any game you would replace it with?
I'm not sure. I just know that it seems a lot like Far Cry 3 and Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 5. I haven't played it personally, but I mean, it doesn't really seem like they've done much to improve it or add anything new to it.
That's kind of where I'm at too. Like, obviously, the story's probably way better than all those other Far Cries solely because of the actor who plays in it, but I can't really see how the gameplay from the action kind of changes. I haven't played it yet, so I could be talking nonsense here, but.
Well, he is nominated. We're talking about former Gustavo Fring, Mr. getting his face blown off in Breaking Bad. Yep. A little spoiler there, but I've also heard that he's only in it for maybe, you know, not a lot of time compared to what they've marketed as, where he's like this massive force in this world.
Lame.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Okay. We'll see, but I think our book's pretty spot on there. Next up, we have the best VR/AR game. So for the best game experience playable in virtual or augmented reality, irrespective of platform. I know we probably haven't delved much into VR, but I'm solely going to base my vote on the one that sounds the coolest. So let's jump right into it. So we have Hitman 3 from IO Interactive. I Expect You to Die 2 from Shell Games. Lone Echo 2 from Ready at Dawn / Oculus Studios. Resident Evil 4 from Armature Studios / Capcom / Oculus Studios. And Sniper Elite VR from Coatsink / Just Add Water / Rebellion Developments. So I'll let you jump on this one, and unless you want me to take the lead.
Oh no, I'm good starting here. I think Resident Evil 4 for the VR. We've seen the fourth Resident Evil remastered and re-released, sort of like Skyrim, on pretty much every single console there is. But I think the VR really introduced a whole new way to experience this fantastic game with the first person gameplay rather than looking over Leon's shoulder the entire time. So I think Resident Evil 4 is going to take this one.
Fair enough. I would give it either to Resident Evil 4 or Hitman 3. I'd personally vote for Hitman 3 just because that sounds really freaking cool in VR.
Yeah, that actually does.
Really, and Resident Evil 4 scares the crap out of me, and I do not want to put that in VR. The way it is. So I'm not casting my vote for that, but I think Resident Evil 4 will probably win it. All right, let me just find the other category. I believe it's the accessibility category, but let me just tell you. Yeah, innovation in accessibility. So this is presented by Chevrolet. So it's recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. So this one is tough for me to vote on because I don't really fit into this category. I don't really want to be insensitive, so if you want to cut this part out, but this one's tough for me. But anyways, we have Far Cry 6 from Ubisoft Toronto / Ubisoft, Forza Horizon 5 from Playground Games / Xbox Game Studios, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy from Eidos Montreal / Square Enix, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart from Insomniac Games / Sony Interactive Entertainment, and The Veil, Shadow of the Crown from Creative Bite Studios / Falling Squirrel. I personally would vote for Forza Horizon 5 on this one, just because I know when I was playing the game, there was a lot of accessibility options, probably about 3 or 4 pages worth. So, you know, if you're colorblind, or if you're playing with a certain controller, or if you, you know, couldn't reach the left Joy-Con, or if you couldn't reach the right Joy-Con, if you couldn't press RT, you could do other things like that. So that's why I'm casting it for that. I have not played 3 of these games, so kind of narrows it down for me.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing about Ratchet and Clank. I remember hearing about the accessibility options for Rift Apart, so I just went into the options menu, and it was similar to Forza. There was like 3 or 4 pages of just options you could do, from like changing the colors to what to do with the triggers to, I think there was one where it would prevent you from falling off ledges, which is interesting. So, I mean, I think it's going to be Forza or Ratchet and Clank.
Fair. And I mean, I love that we have this category, just because gaming's for everybody, and it doesn't matter, you know, who you are, where you come from, what kind of disability you have, everybody should be able to enjoy games at their own leisure. So I'm glad we have this category and kind of pushing it as a narrative.
It's incredibly awesome, and just nuts what they've been able to do to make games more accessible to more people. It's just really impressive.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I'm all for it. The more accessibility options, the better.
Absolutely.
So that next we have the best community support, recognizing the game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates / patches. So we have Apex Legends from Respawn / EA, Destiny 2 from Bungie, Final Fantasy 15 Online, or is that 14? Final Fantasy 14 Online, my bad, I cannot read Roman numerals, from Square Enix. We have Fortnite from Epic Games, or No Man's Sky from Hello Games. So where would you cast your vote, and who do you think is going to win this category?
I just want to kick things off here by first asking, do you think we see Halo Infinite on here in a couple of years with it being free to play?
Absolutely.
So do I.
If it's not on there, and if it's not on there next year, I will be a little disappointed.
I certainly think it joins these five. I mean, No Man's Sky is the game that just it's so resilient. It's incredible now. Yeah, it just got beat up at launch from essentially every single person who had played it, and they said, okay, we're going to take this criticism and we're going to make this game what we want it to be, and they've done an amazing job with No Man's Sky. So just for that reason alone, I'm going to say that.
That's good. I honestly believe any of these games could get it. I will personally cast my vote for Apex Legends because I play a lot of Apex. That's probably my main first-person shooter game, and I see them on posts on Twitter all the time. The servers are down, or there's any issues, and it's addressed within hours or even a day, and they're always communicating on what they're doing. So they get my vote. I do think No Man's Sky or Fortnite probably take this one though. All right, next we have best mobile game, which again have not played probably any, maybe one. I played one. So this is the best mobile game presented by Verizon. For the best game playable on a mobile device. So we have Fantasia from Mistwalker, Genshin Impact from miHoYo, League of Legends Wild Rift from Riot Games, Marvel Future Revolution from Netmarble, and Pokemon Unite from Timmy Studio Group / the Pokemon Company.
You can go first.
I'm going to cast my vote for Pokemon Unite because that is the only game I've played on mobile.
Fair enough. I'm going to go Genshin Impact strictly because one of my close friends, he sent me screenshots of the app page, I want to say 4 or 5 separate times within the last few months.
It looks great.
It does look incredible, but it's just, I can't bring myself to give it a shot, though I really want to. But he's trying really hard to get me to play it just because he is pretty much playing it every time, all the time, whenever he's at home.
Oh, yeah, all my friends are playing it. Every time I'm like, all my time I'm on, they're like, oh yeah, I'm playing Genshin. And I'm just like, okay. It's like, it's a mobile game. It's a gacha game, right? So like, it's a lot of pay to win, but apparently the world's incredible. So
I can't play mobile games because I just can't sit there on my phone and play something when I have a PlayStation.
It is available on PlayStation. It is available on PlayStation as well.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah, so it's available on PlayStation. I think Genshin Impact's going to win this, but I would cast my vote for Pokemon Unite. So, all right, next game, next category is best indie game, which that is very interesting. For outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system. So we have 12 minutes from Louis Antonio / Annapurna. That's the one with William Dafoe, sorry. Death Door from Acid Nerve / Devolver Digital. Inscription from Daniel Mullins Games / Devolver Digital. Canada Bridge of Spirits from Ember Lab. And Loop Hero from Four Quarters / Devolver. So Devolver Digital is killing it in this category.
Yeah, I'm going to say 12 minutes. I had to think about that just to make sure. Yeah, I'm going to say 12 minutes because the concept is so unique and original. It's just essentially you're reliving the same 12 minutes over and over again, just in different scenarios. And the cast is just incredible. We have Daisy Ridley, we have Willem Dafoe, and just so many others that just it makes this game incredibly intriguing. But I do think Kenna is going to win just because it stands out of the five games personally.
Fair enough. I'm going to cast my vote for Death's Door. If you have not played Death's Door yet, you have to. I played a little bit of it. I really enjoyed it, but it seems like everybody's loving it right now. So Death's Door gets my vote on this one, and I think Death's Door is going to win. So, all right. That's next up. We got the best ongoing game. So this is awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. So we have Apex Legends from Respawn / EA, Final Fantasy 14 Online from Square Enix, Fortnite from Epic Games, Genshin Impact from miHoYo, and Call of Duty Warzone from Infinity Ward / Raven / Activision. Do you want to take this one or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
This one's a tough one. I would personally cast my vote for Apex Legends just because that's probably the only first-person shooter I play out of all these. But I am a little surprised that Sea of Thieves is not included in this category in some sort of way. I mean, they just released a Pirates Life update, which had the whole Pirates of the Caribbean theme. It was a whole Pirates of the Caribbean theme, based. So it's been going on for 4 years now, and the player count's never been higher. So I am surprised the game's not in here, but these games are all noted. Like, these games are all probably beat it out of how it's not in there. I do think Call of Duty's Warzone will win, though. or Final Fantasy 14 online, because I hear that game's phenomenal.
I actually held Sea of Thieves in my hand last week as I was looking at the back of it. It looks pretty interesting. And it says you can play solo, which I would probably start with, and then jump into the multiplayer. But I'm probably going to say Fortnite, just because, yeah. I mean, it seems like there's always some wacky event happening with cubes, or, you know, rappers are in the middle of the map. Warzone, it hasn't really evolved. I mean, I know sometimes they get new maps, but that's pretty much it. I know with seasons, there's, you know, weapons and things, but I mean, it just compared to Fortnite, where it's just this massive event. So I think Fortnite's going to win, but I mean, again, Genshin Impact might also steal it too. So who knows?
That's a tough one. But all those games are there for a reason, clearly. Next we have is Games for Impact. So for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. So we have Before Your Eyes from Goodbye World Games / Skybound Games, Boyfriend Dungeon from Kitbox Games, Chicory, A Colorful Tale from Greg Olobono, Alexis Dean Jones, Lena Rain, Madeline Berger, and A Shell in the Pit / Finji. Then we have Life is Strange, True Colors from Deck 9 / Square Enix, and No Longer Home from Humble Grove, Hannah Lee. I think that's Chell Davison, Adrian Lombardo, Ellie Rainsbury / Fellow Traveler. Whew, that was mouthful.
Yeah, I think Life is Strange is probably going to win this, just because I love the Life is Strange series. 1 and 2 are phenomenal games, so I haven't, this has been, True Colors has been downloaded on my PlayStation 5 essentially since launch, but I just haven't had a chance to play it. It might be why I start this week, actually, just because it's not a long game and I can just jump into it whenever I want. So I think Life is Strange, True Colors is going to win that one.
Yeah, that would probably where I would cast my vote as well. Although No Longer Home, just by looking at the picture, makes me incredibly sad. So I know I might be up there for for a winner. It looks like a lonely guy petting his cat, which is, you know, kind of moved away from his home, so...
That sounds exactly like my life. So, I mean, maybe I'll try No Longer Home instead.
Man, that might hit too close to home for you.
Might not be emotionally stable enough to play that one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm definitely not ready for that. I'm getting curious looking at it. But Life is Strange, True Colors will probably win this one in my kind of, in my eyes. Now, this one's interesting. This one is Best Performance. So it's awarded to an individual for voiceover acting / motion and or performance capture. So these are pretty much... the main actors are, you know, actors in a video game, but they're real life people. So we have Erica Mori as Alex Chen from Life is Strange, True Colors. Giancarlo Esposito as Anton Castillo from Far Cry 6.
Excellent pronunciation.
Thank you very much. Jason Kelly as Colt Vaughn from Deathloop. Maggie Robertson as Lady Dimitrescu.
Dimitrescu, I think.
Dimitrescu, yeah, that makes more sense. From Resident Evil Village. And Osioma Akagaf as Juliana Blake from Deathloop. I'm going to let you take this one because I feel like you've played more of these games than I have.
I think this is the first category where we've actually played all 5 of the games. My heart wants to say Gustavo. I keep calling him Gustavo, even though that's not from Breaking Bad, just because I'm a massive Breaking Bad fan. But
my favorite show of all time.
That's lovely. We got to talk more about that. I think Jason Kelly from Deathloop, his commentary as you're just running around these areas, it's just, I found myself laughing consistently with whatever he was saying. It's just, it sounds like he has no idea what's going on at all times, and it's just fantastic. But I mean, Lady Dimitrescu also was incredible. I mean, she wasn't as involved in the storyline as I'd like, but she was incredibly she was just lovely. I'll put it the most PG way possible.
I'm sure we've seen the internet out there. I'm going to cast my vote actually for Erica Mori as Alex Chen. I feel like Life is Strange is a lot of the game is revolved around the main character and kind of, you know, developing that as a character and kind of feeling that character's emotions. And to kind of be like the vocal point of that game takes a lot. So I'm voting for her just because I feel like, you know, I've seen the gameplay, I've watched gameplay of it, I've seen the trailers, and I was already hooked when I heard her voice. So I already know right away she's captivating. So she gets my vote. But I do think you'll see Jason Kelly as Colt Vaughn take this.
So many of these categories, they're just incredibly close, more close than, I mean, I thought.
Right? That's what I mean. Like it's impossible to really pick the winners. It's just kind of hope for the best.
Yeah.
Next, we have best audio design. So recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. We have Deathloop from Arkane Studios / Bethesda, Forza Horizon 5 from Playground Games / Xbox Game Studios, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart from Insomniac Games / Sony Interactive Entertainment, Resident Evil Village from Capcom, and Returnal from Housemarque / Sony Interactive Entertainment. I'm going to let you take this one since you, I know for a fact you played 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pick Returnal again just because, especially using headphones, it was just absolutely horrifying to hear all these different aliens and the sounds and the just even there's these little plant things that suck you up if you get too close. Even the noises they make are just terrifying. So I'm going to have to go Returnal on this one.
Good call. I'm going to have to go with Forza Horizon 5 just because, you know, in order for a racing game to be, you know, use actual sounds from actual cars, like the cars in the game are all real and the cars sound have to be exactly because there's a lot of car efficiency audios out there.
Oh, really?
And yeah, so like if you can think of a car in real life, it's in Forza and they sounded like exactly like the real life counterparts. So
wow, that's fantastic.
For that reason alone, that's why I'm voting for it. Resident Evil Village, I've never played because it's way too scary, so I'd probably give that the vote. But from what you're sounding from Returnal, that sounds absolutely terrifying, which would win.
I mean, Resident Evil Village wasn't, we'll get a little off track here. Village wasn't half as scary as I think what Resident Evil 7 was the one before that. So, I mean, if you really wanted to give one of these Resident Evil games a shot, I think Village would probably be the best one for you.
The game has the word evil in it. I think I'm good.
Fair enough.
All right. This is my favorite category just because I love music. The music, and if the music hooks me in the game, I'm going to love the game. So best score in music for outstanding music, inclusive score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. The Artful Escape from Johnny Galvatron, Josh Abrams. So the composers are Johnny Galvatron and Josh Abrams. The composers for Cyberpunk 2077 are Martin, Piotr T, and Adam. I can't pronounce any of those. Anyway, Cyberpunk 2077 is up there. Deathloop, so Tom Salto is the composer. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Richard Jock is the composer. And Nier Replicant version 0.1.22474487139, Ketchi Okabe is the composer. Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy is winning this one for me, hands down. Cyberpunk might actually take this one, though.
Yeah, based on what you said of Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack, I'm 1,000% picking that one just based on that. It sounds like there's a lot of 80s sort of music going on and music that's reminiscent of the movies. So I'm picking that one too.
It's phenomenal. It's great. That one, it's good. That one doesn't win. I might riot. I might tweet Jeff Keighley. But all right, the next category, best art direction. So this is for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. So this is the Artful Escape from Beethoven and Dinosaur / Annapurna. I love that name, Beethoven and Dinosaur. Deathloop from Arkane Studios / Bethesda. Kena: Bridge of Spirits from Ember Labs. Psychonauts 2 from Delphine / Xbox Game Studios. And Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, Insomniac Games, Sony Interactive Entertainment. And I have a feeling we both know who we're picking. I know who you're picking, and you probably know who I'm picking.
I mean, these are incredibly, I know I keep harping on it, but these are just so close. I'm probably going to pick Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart just because it has a special little spot in my heart. And I'm fairly confident in what you're picking as well.
Yeah, I'm going with Psychonauts 2 just because that game, like there's a point in the game where I actually thought I was on an acid trip because of the way the game, like the whole mushiness where you're supposed to feel like on an acid trip. Like it's called the senses sensorium, and essentially you're trying to rescue these people in the game and they end up being like a nose, a hand, a hair, and it's really freaky. But the way the game is designed, like every level is different. They have this tooth world where the whole world is designed full of teeth and everything like that, so it's really, really cool, and it's probably the most unique level design I've played in such a long time.
I might have to give Psychonauts 2 a shot,
man. That's what I'm saying. If you love Ratchet and Clank, you'll love Psychonauts. They're pretty much like identical kind of way they play, but Psychonauts, the level design is incredible.
I just like to say that I know it technically didn't come out this year, but Death Stranding should be on here because the PS5 update.
That's fair.
It just I've never seen a game look just
What would you put Death Stranding in instead of?
Well, I've never seen The Artful Escape. I'm sure if I looked up right now, it would be absolutely beautiful. But I'll say that just because I don't know what it is. I might look like a fool by doing that, but Or maybe Deathloop, just because it's a first-person shooter. And I mean, compared to Death Stranding, where it's an open world and over the shoulder, it's just, I've found myself countless times just sort of sitting back and saying to myself, oh my gosh, this is just breathtaking. I mean, Ghost of Tsushima was that game for the longest time for me, and Death Stranding quickly took over the best looking game, in my opinion.
Fair enough. Definitely fair. Yeah. Definitely fair. All right, now we're getting to the best narrative. So for outstanding storytelling and narrative development in a game. So we have Deathloop from Arkane Studios / Bethesda, It Takes Two from Hazelight Studios / EA, Life is Strange, True Colors from Deck 9 / Square Enix, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy from Eidos Montreal / Square Enix, which I think is very underrated in this sense. That's a very excellent story. Psychonauts 2 from Double Fine / Xbox Game Studios. So I'm going to let you cast your vote here first, because I kind of tore between three games. So
I'm fairly confident that it's going to be either Deathloop or It Takes Two, but personally, I would love it if Life is Strange won, just because I know the storytelling in the first two was just incredible, so I'm sure the third is just as good.
Yeah, I think I'm going to say Life is Strange 2 takes it, just because, like you said, and like the whole point of Life is Strange, if it's narrative, without its narrative, it will not be a good game. So it needs to have good writing, which it always does. I think my runner, like, It Takes 2 has excellent story as well, but I actually think Psychonauts 2 story is very underrated too. So, and there's a lot more deep behind Psychonauts 2, but I think Life is Strange True Colors wins.
I think I'm going to have to jump in Deathloop. I've only played it for about an hour.
Fair enough.
I think give it a shot. Yeah, after seeing it's pretty much in every single one of these categories.
I know, and I'm excited. I'm excited to play it when I can finally get my hands on it. It definitely looks like a game that I'll probably enjoy.
It's essentially a Dishonored cracked up to 10. So if you enjoyed Dishonored, you'll
I love enjoy Dishonored.
It. Exactly. So yeah, you'll be a big fan of it.
Perfect. All right, so best game direction. So it's awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. But look at all these. I'm not going to say the companies anymore because I've mentioned them multiple times throughout the podcast. It just becomes repetitive. But all these could probably win this category, to be completely honest. We have Absolutely. Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart.
Two of my three favorite games of the year are on here, Returnal and Ratchet & Clank, Rift Apart. I think I've chosen
two of my three favorite games of the year are on here as well, with It Takes Two and Psychonauts 2. So
yeah, so certainly, I mean, I think I've chosen Returnal and Ratchet probably even so far. Oh, that's I'm gonna say Returnal, just because I don't think I've had more fun playing a game this year than I have playing Returnal.
Fair enough. And I mean, I know you love Ratchet & Clank, but to be fair to Ratchet & Clank, like, it doesn't really change the genre of Ratchet & Clank, whereas Returnal is a brand new kind of direction that a game takes, you know what I mean?
I couldn't agree more.
So that's why I'm kind of going with It Takes Two. I haven't played Deathloop, so I can't personally vote on that, but It Takes Two is a kind of a different gaming experience than I've had experience in a long time. As much as I love Psychonauts 2, it's just more Psychonauts, so there's really nothing that's really changing there in my opinion, but It Takes Two is phenomenal. So all right, here we go.
We got one big more one.
Yeah, this is the last one we have, I believe, so this is the big one. We have a game of the year. So recognizing the game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. So this one, I think we're going to spend quite a bit on just kind of going, maybe if you want to go through each game and kind of say what we thought of it, if we've ever played it, and kind of go from there.
Absolutely.
Perfect. So we'll start with Deathloop from Arkane Studios / Bethesda. I know you only played an hour of it and I haven't played it yet, but if you want to spend some time on it, we can.
Yeah, sure. Go over, like, list them all, and then, yeah, we'll jump into each one.
Okay, so we have Deathloop, It Takes Two from Hazelight Studios / EA, Metroid Dread from Mercury Steam / Nintendo, Psychonauts 2 from Double Fine / Xbox Game Studios, Ratchet & Clank Drift Apart from Insomniac Games / Sony Interactive Entertainment, and Resident Evil Village Capcom. Now, before we go through each game, is there any game that has surprised you by showing up here, and one that has not? I need to get my rant out, so I'll let you go first, and then I'll go.
I mean, ever since playing it on launch night, I downloaded it at like 12:30 in the middle of the night. Returnal, I genuinely believed it would at least be nominated for Game of the Year, and I'm quite shocked that it's not. And then also Metroid Dread, I've never played it, so I can't really talk much on it, but it seems like a bit of a lower, I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here, just compared to all the other ones, it seems like it doesn't really belong on this list.
Fair enough. I can't speak personally on Metroid Dread, but to me, obviously I never played it, but it seems more considered for namesake rather than gameplay. But that being said, let's talk about Forza Horizon 5 for a second here. I actually completely agree with Returnal. I actually think Returnal should make sure have been over here, like personally over Ratchet and Clank, because I think that was probably the, I don't know about the ratings, but they're like Returnal just seems to me like it was game of the year is a tough one. Like it's not my favorite game. It's more the game that I would remember the year from. So if I thought of Ratchet and Clank, like if I thought of the year 2021, where I think of Ratchet and Clank as being the game that kind of represents that year, I don't know. I'd probably go lean more towards Returnal, but that's just my opinion. Not saying Ratchet and Clank is a great game, because that's the reason why I needed to play. That's why I spent more than market price for my PS5 is for Ratchet and Clank. So I can't say anything about it.
I'll just touch on that quickly. I beat Ratchet and Clank after maybe 8 or 10 hours, and then I got the platinum with that, and I haven't touched it. So I mean, I completely agree with that.
Yeah, that's fair. Forza Horizon 5 to me, it needs to be at least mentioned in this category. But my personal opinion, I mean, it's the highest rated game of the year. If you go look at it, it has about 90s in every single category. It had 10 million players in the first week of launch. I mean, like the fact that it's not mentioned here is kind of annoying. Not saying it should win game of the year. It should at least be nominated, because I think personally, I'll get to a second, but I think this is another game that will beat all these out. I don't know. Forza Horizon 5 was probably one of the best racing games I've ever played. It's not just like Gran Turismo, let's be honest, is the king of all racing sims. There's no denying that, but Forza Horizon is an open world. Like, you choose your story. Like, I'm at the point right now where if I go to the right, I have to drive through a sandstorm and make sure I get the proper picture. Or if I go to the left, I have to explore Mayan jungle and try and find a lost car that's in the Mayan jungle. So, like, you get to kind of choose your story based on that, and you drive all over Mexico. So it's not a sim. It's not a racing sim by any means. It's more of an open world racing experience, and there is a story to it. So it's completely it's just so much fun. You need to try it. I think it should be here over Metroid Dread personally. But that being said, I don't think it would win Game of the Year if it was nominated. I just think it should be recognized as a nominee.
Well, you mentioned Game of the Year being a game that you sort of remember the year of, and I think when you think back of all the games that have come out this year, I mean, I don't think a game has been hyped up more or talked more about than Deathloop has. So I mean, I think probably going to win the Game of the Year. Do I agree with that? No, I do not.
Fair enough. I would go the other way, and I would say Resident Evil Village might get it. I don't agree with that at all, but I think Resident Evil Village, it just seems like Resident Evil, for some reason, everybody loves Resident Evil, and I don't know why, but I think that would win that. I personally cast my vote for It Takes Two, personally.
Resident Evil Village, I had an incredible time, but it just felt like it was missing something compared to the previous. I think it was Resident Evil 7, this one, and then I think they were making one more, if I'm not mistaken. It just felt like, I can't explain it, but it just, something wasn't there. It was an incredible game, and I loved every second of it, but I don't know. I think it was just missing something.
That's fair. That's very fair. I think It Takes Two would take it. When I think of the year 2021, like, It Takes Two was probably the most memorable gaming experience I've had. I played 100% it with a friend of mine, and we even went through it twice because we had to beat two characters 100% it, and I had no problem going through it again. So I love that. I just love that game so much.
And then in my heart, I want to say Ratchet and Clank, but I know, I mean, it's not really a math. I mean, it's an amazing game, but I mean, compared to like the powerhouses that are on this list, it's not really a Game of the Year worthy, I don't think. I don't even think any Ratchet and Clank game has ever won Game of the Year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not too familiar with Ratchet and Clank, but I mean, like, all the games on here obviously deserve credit. They're all fantastic games, and they're all rated highly in the 80s. So each and every one of these deserve to be here. But if, when I think of Game of the Year, like, obviously it's different than what the other people think. But if I was to think, close my eyes and think, what game came out in the year 2021? Like, if, you know, 10 years from now, I'd be able to probably say It Takes Two right out of the gate. That's casting my vote.
I'd also think about the Grand Theft Auto collection. I know right now, it's not in the greatest of light with all of the issues that's happening with it. But I mean, we've wanted that for years now, and we finally have it. It doesn't really seem like they put a lot of effort into it, which is incredibly unfortunate. But I'm still excited to pick that up once they do fix a lot of the issues with it.
Fair enough. I mean, I could give Mass Effect Legendary Edition a shout out, let's be fair.
Oh yeah, that came out as well this year.
I don't think it's Game of the Year by any means. I mean, it's just literally really updated graphics of the games of game of multiple game of the years. All three of them have won game of the year in their respective years. So, but man, oh man, that kid. I'm surprised it's not nominated in like sound design or something. Like it's just or best narrative. Even like it should have been nominated for at least one.
Yeah, I don't think there's any like remasters or anything like that on this list, if I'm not mistaken. Is there?
No, I didn't see any. Which I mean, probably a good thing to be honest. Like remaster, like.
Well, there's Final Fantasy 14. Isn't that a sort of remake?
It is, but it's Final Fantasy 14 online, so I guess it's like a massive multiplayer online.
Oh, okay, so. Yeah, so maybe they try to shy away from that sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe. Just so everyone's clear, the games released in December do not count towards this game of the year. It's counted as next year's game of the year. So that's why you've seen Cyberpunk. There's a cutoff date, I believe, of I think it's November 14th or November 19th, maybe was the cutoff date for people to kind of be nominated. Like, not nominated. Like I think the nominations ended on November 5th, but November 19th was the last time people could send in ballots. And cast their like the jury could be like change their votes. So games and any games released after like pretty much November 5th to anywhere between November 5th and 19th probably will not be nominated, and they'll probably be nominated next year. So you'll probably see games like Halo Infinite will probably be up for game of the year in 2022, for example. You'll see if it obviously got, you know, God of War, if Horizon would have came out this year, it probably would have been nominated for game of the year next year. So that's why we don't see those games in there. Or Battlefield, for example, type thing too.
Well, speaking of Battlefield and Halo, which title do you think wins best multiplayer next year with Battlefield 2042 coming out recently? Actually, I think it comes out.
Came out Friday.
Yeah, and then Halo Infinite also being out, plus Call of Duty
Vanguard.
Yeah, so
I think Halo takes the championship there.
I think it'd be close. I mean, right now, Battlefield's looking a little as Battlefield tends to do early on. But I mean, I think after they get a few kinks out, it'll be a fantastic experience.
I read an interesting thing on Call of Duty that the sales are down 40% in the UK in Call of Duty. So I think it'll be between Halo and Battlefield. But I think the fact that Halo is free to play will play a huge factor in that.
I mean, Destiny 2 did that, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, and it seems to be doing them well. It certainly can benefit a company if they do it well, and if they don't, we've seen that happen.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's all 343 now. They've nailed it so far, but they need to continue to support it to make it one of the best multiplayers of all time.
Yeah, I certainly think Halo Infinite will also steal multiplayer or best multiplayer next year.
Yeah, you said Deathloop's gonna win game of the year. Is that your personal vote out of these, or is that just who you think is gonna win?
That's what I think is going to win, just because it was, I don't think there was a game that was more talked about this year.
Your personal vote would be Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, probably. Or Resident Evil Village. One of those two.
Fair enough. If you were to rank these games 1 to 6, how would you go about it? Like, based off of your personal preference?
Well, I mean, I don't really want to do that just because it's not fair to the games I haven't played. I mean,
Fair enough.
I'll rank the ones I have played. Like Ratchet would probably be number one, just again for it's been in my gaming library since I was, oh gosh, I don't even want to say how old. And then Resident Evil Village, probably Deathloop, just because from what I've played, I've had a really good time, and then I just sort of got sucked away with Death Stranding once that came out. And then probably it would probably be a tie between It Takes Two and Psychonauts, just because you and I have actually played It Takes Two briefly, and I had a lot of fun doing that. And Psychonauts also.
Get back to that.
Yeah, I haven't played it since. I want to finish it with you. And then Psychonauts 2, from what you've said, it sounds very exciting, and the level design has me quite interested. And then Metroid Dread, I haven't played it, so I mean, I'll just rank it last.
That's kind of where I'm at. I think personally, It Takes Two would be one, Psychonauts 2 would be two. Then those are the only two games I played fully. Resident Evil, I probably put Ratchet & Clank 3 because that's the next game I want to play. Then Deathloop, then Resident Evil Village, then Metroid, just because I've not played Metroid. Actually, no, I'll put Metroid above Resident Evil just because I will never play Resident Evil. I'm going to get to Metroid eventually. But Resident Evil I'll probably never touch unless it's on Game Pass. And, you know, I have a bunch of, like, I'll never buy it. If I can get it for free and I have a bunch of friends over, I'll play it. But I'll never buy it. Too scary for me.
Well, talking about the Game Awards for this year, what is your personal favorite game this year? What game have you sort of spent the most time playing in 2021?
Mass Effect Legendary Edition.
Oh, that was quick.
I have about over 200 hours on there, and I'm pretty close to, the thing is 137 achievements on the Xbox side. Wow. I have 120 of them, so I'm only 17 away from 100% of the game. I will be buying it on PlayStation 5 and going through there again, and I plan on doing a third run through on my Xbox to get all the other achievements in probably the near future.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, how about you?
My favorite game for this year has to be Returnal, but the game I've spent the most time is by far Death Stranding. I checked recently and it was, I think it was over 100 hours, which
that's insane to me. But yeah, hey, man, it good for you.
Yeah.
One thing I like about the Game Awards is, you know, there's a lot of new game reveals. So I wonder, obviously this podcast went on long enough, but if you had one game reveal that you could think of that you would want at the Game Awards, whether it's true or not, what would it be?
Oh gosh, that's challenging. I haven't even thought about that. Everything that I've... Give me a Time Splitters game already. I know it just came out. Is it on Game Pass or is it on
store? It's backwards compatible. So yeah, so you can buy it digitally on the store now. Like you could play on Xbox back in the day. But now if you have a Series X, you weren't able to buy it because all those games are outdated. But now you can go and buy it on the store and it's updated graphics a little bit with 60 FPS as well. So
yeah, those are, I think, the only two PlayStation games I still have is Time Splitters 2 and Time Splitters Future Perfect. And I know people have been working on remaking it for years and years. I follow a page on Twitter that constantly gives us updates, but I mean, it's a very small team. So I'd love something to do with Time Splitters. I'm not, whether it be a remaster or a brand new one altogether. I'm thinking with them adding it to the Xbox store that something has to be happening.
Yeah, I think you'll probably see a remaster soon for that. And then for me, it's already a game that's announced, but I really want to see Fable. I really want to see what Playgrounds, now that there are big games there with Forza Horizon 5, all hands on deck for Fable, I would assume. And I really want to see what the vision is for that game and kind of what it's looking like. That's probably my most anticipated game from Xbox Game Studios besides Halo coming out. So
let's say the new Fable and the new Mass Effect come out on the same day. What do you plan first?
Ooh. Well, Fable will be on Game Pass, so I don't need to spend any money besides paying for the subscription, obviously. And Mass Effect probably won't be. So that's, oh boy.
Good question.
I probably have to go with Mass Effect, to be honest with you on that one.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
I don't think we'll see any news on Mass Effect until Dragon Age 4 comes out. Dragon Age 4, so I'm kind of not really holding my breath on that. And 7 already passed, so. But if I really, Fable is the game I want to see, but if there's a new game that I, like a new kind of game or, you know, a remake of any game that, you know, that really should come back into fruition, I think I really want to see a James Bond game.
There have been so many of those, and a lot of them are just really fun games to play.
Right? Like, I want a James Bond game similar to Hitman where, you know, you're James Bond and has updated graphics and all that stuff. And it's a lot more, I wouldn't say open world, like it's more linear, but there's a lot more to do than just GoldenEye. But I want the same multiplayer experience that GoldenEye and Nightfire had.
I'd also love the Witcher series to do something. I know they're kind of busy with Cyberpunk right now, but.
Speaking of Cyberpunk, I don't know if you heard the next gen versions got delayed until 2023.
Yeah, I heard the Witcher also got delayed too. So I'm not entirely sure what's going on there. Same with Max Payne. Give me a Max Payne 4. Max Payne 3 was an amazing send-off to that character, and I want to see some more.
They all got added. They recently all got added to backwards compatible as well. All three Max Payne games with 60 FPS and updated graphics. So that'd be that. Obviously, this is just a rumor, but I've heard there's about 23 new game announcements at the Game Awards this year, whether they're, you know, add-ons to future games or new games. But so we'll see, but I'm looking forward to it.
I think I'm most excited to see what kind of shoes Jeff is wearing this year, because I think it was last year he had his, was he wearing like bright red shoes at the Game Awards last year?
Oh yeah, he was.
Yeah, so I think I'm most excited to see what style he comes out with this year.
We should take a bet on that.
What color shoes does Jeff come out in?
Yeah, exactly, and then the loser has to buy someone the game of their choice.
I like that bet. I'm going to say blue.
You're going to say blue?
It's right here.
I'm going to say yellow.
Oh, bold choice. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say like yellow. You like to stand out, so yellow definitely can stand out. But we'll see. You heard it here first. If it's yellow shoes, Jesse buys me a game. If it's blue shoes, I have to buy him a game. All right, so that's been our. I forget what episode we're at now, but this is
Well, season two, officially.
Yeah, well, well,
forgot to mention that.
We'll call this season two, episode one of the Level 9 podcast. We are not setting dates when we're releasing anything because our schedules are so busy, but we will be back and post some more content when we both have a chance to meet up and kind of create our visions together. So thanks for listening and enjoy the Game Awards.
Yeah, it's been fantastic talking to you again, Alex. Like I said, I miss talking to you about games. It's fun. I have a great time doing this. Can't wait to do it more with you.